Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
it's part two of our interview with Carolina Story.
In other words, a sequel. So, Patrick, yesterday we heard on the show, in the interview with Carolina Story, we heard them talk about how they recorded their album and they would project, like, movies onto a movie screen.
That was fascinating.
Now, have you ever done anything like that in your recording adventures?
Not mainstream films. There's been some other stuff we projected. Yeah. No, we never have done that. I think it's really, really interesting. And as anybody listening to this podcast every day knows, I really got into movies recently. They can definitely really, really alter your perception, your mood, and your creative channels. So I think it's cool.
I've heard of producers who would do other things in the studio, like, you know, throw things at musicians while they're playing.
Yeah.
Or something like that. There's other ways to set an environment.
That's right.
Right. To get a performance out of
That's
people.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I do something like this when I'm writing, which is that often actually when I'm writing, I try to pick the right music to listen to.
Yes. Very important.
For the mood. Right. Mm-hmm. So in fact, just today I was trying to write, we'll see how this goes. I was trying to write a little humor piece about my attempt to grow a beard. Right. And so I listened to some ZZ Top. It put me in the mood.
There you
right?
go. Perfect.
Yeah.
I think that's absolutely perfect. Yeah.
It put me in the perfect mindset right. for writing this
that's
piece. Right.
right?
So,
crank
okay.
up some beard rock.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think someone said recently. Yeah.
Yep. But this is not why you called. So, the point of all of this is that today is part two of our interview with the band Carolina Story.
Yep.
If you didn't listen to part one, just go back, do that. It's free, it's available. You know, should be able to do that pretty easily.
Yep.
Then listen to part two. And we teased yesterday that we're going to open up here with a question we asked them about a big influence of theirs on this latest album. Their new album is called Dandelion. And it was one of the big influences was the band The Jayhawks. And
right.
I think that's
totally.
Great. I think that's really great. And I think for a lot of our listening audience, that's going to really mean something, and they're going to be able to make that connection, I think, when they hear this album from Carolina Story.
Without a doubt, Jim. And also, I personally love the fact that we got cred when we told them we'd interviewed the Jayhawks. They were impressed by that, and I thought that was important.
Changed the whole dynamic of the interview, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay, so this podcast, by the way, is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And here is part two of our interview with Ben and Emily Roberts of Carolina Story.
Taking time to try.
I want to get back to something you mentioned here, which is the Jayhawks. So we actually just recently had the Jayhawks on our podcast talking about their
new
talking about their new album.
They had never done a Zoom before, and oh my God, it was hard to keep them in line because they were all like, oh, I haven't seen, they were having side conversations. Yeah, it was crazy.
That was fun.
So it wasn't people all separate. That's amazing.
No, it wasn't like talking to you guys. They were just unhinged.
I love that.
No, it was funny.
They're really great. And I find it interesting, though. What I find interesting about this is that I think the thing about the Jayhawks is you listen to their music and you're sort of like, identify the influence on this song and this song. You know what I mean? They're such like Gary Louris, especially such like a student of music that you can hear.
Oh my God.
You know, here's a Graham Parsons bit and here's a Beatles bit that he put in and here's, you know, whatever. And so I find it fascinating that people are influenced by the Jayhawks, right? So it just keeps building on itself, right?
Yeah.
I know. Isn't that cool?
Yeah. That's cool. Very
so,
cool.
So what I was going to say is there was one song in particular on your new album that I thought could just fit like right alongside a Jayhawk song. And that is See You When I See You.
Totally.
Oh yeah.
I just think it has that same sensibility, that same kind of like, it's earthy, but it has like a pop, structure to it. It's really a beautiful song. So, you know, I don't really have a great question here other than just congratulations on that song.
Yeah,
really nice.
Thank you. That's a huge compliment. Yeah,
well,
for sure.
Man, I'm really glad you brought that up. That's spot on, because when you go back, I mean, one, with this new album, we wanted Emily to really take more of a lead, you know, and our last album was a little bit, it was like both of us singing at all times, or I was more the lead. So we went in with an emphasis for Emily to sing more and, you know, establish her own characters, you know, and, but when Paul, you know, played the Jayhawks album for us, Rainy Day Music, and like that was his pitch to do the album with us, we had no idea what, you know, the rabbit trail that would take us on. And
we obsessed over
it. We did.
Yeah.
It's and really what's great. Crazy is that See You When I See You was the very first song, I think, maybe it was the second, that Paul and I wrote together. And, you know, it took Paul convincing that Emily should sing it. He was like, oh no, man, we got it.
But I'm giving this up.
Yeah.
But you know, that was sort of the framework of the whole album. I know Dandelion as a theme was, but from a musical standpoint, Paul did like a demo of that song. See You When I See You, one of the first days he and I had written together. And you know, he didn't charge us anything or whatever, but he really like, you know, I mean, played all the instruments, and it was like we took that to our label and to our management, and they were like, that was the song.
Oh, wow.
And the song that, how it sounds now on the album is nothing like the demo. And,
the theme's
but that was
here.
Sort of the that was the song, you know, that was the song that, like, you know, we took it to the, like we said, the label and the management, and it was like, this is the sound, you know, and this guy can capture what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And, so yeah, that was a very important song. That was the first song, you know.
Wow.
They got this album
very
going.
Cool.
So here's and it's really great. It's really great. I love it. And but now here's my question though. From a songwriter's perspective and a performer's perspective though, I mean, do you want to go down that path, right? So the Jayhawks are successful but kind of like have a bit of a cult following, right? Or they're kind of a music fans type of band, right?
You have to stumble through the dark to them. Yeah.
Right. Do you want to? Yeah. It's an awesome path to follow, but do you want to go bigger than that in some way? You know, or is it? You know, where do you guys see yourselves within the music scene?
That's a big question, Jim.
Yeah, that's a great question. I have to think about it.
I mean, what you just said, I mean, sure. Are the Jayhawks the like number one, you know, are they the Chicago Bulls, you know, are they the team you should be following, you know, the 92 Bulls or something, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, for us, it sounds whatever philosophical or, I mean, it just always is about writing the best music we can. And I think it's a journey for us that's the thing. I mean, I don't know how, even in this day and time, that you even gauge success. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, so it has to be about more than that. And I mean, there's just nothing else I could do but be a songwriter and be in a band. And we've been doing this so long. It's such a part of our life together, individually. I mean, we're 34. We've been doing this now together for 12, 13 years. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it just is sort of a way of life.
Yeah.
More so than.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, that I feel like we've been doing it long enough now that, like, when we were young and just starting off, like.
Yeah, you had these, like, these watermarks, you know, you wanted to make. And.
But now I think it's just for the love of music. I feel like we're just creating, you know, to create, and it may not sound like the number one hit song, but it means a lot to us.
No, and while we're able, I mean, we're able to, you know, barely, but we're able to do this full time and have, you know, a family. And I mean, so as long as we can do that, we're going to, you know.
Yep. That's amazing. I think, Jim, I'm just going to say our community, our audience is going to eat this band up.
I think totally. I think you're right.
Like a perfect fit.
Because
it's like all the boxes get checked with our people.
Oh, I totally agree. Cool. And because I think that love of music comes through. I think you can hear it.
Yep. Totally.
In the songs.
It is. And it's taken us 10 years, you know, 10, 11 years of recording. I think this is our coming out party. I do. I think this album is you know, we're already talking about the next thing, man. Mm-hmm. It's like this, and man, that's a hell of a thing to realize that it you know, that it could take you that long to sort of begin realize your voice,
that's,
you know,
right.
And define.
No.
I mean, but that's a and a lot of, not everyone's going to do that.
Nope.
Not everyone's going to go, well, 10 years of sleeping on floors and this and that and whatever. Right. I mean, actually, if you'd have told me what it would take, you know, to even be where we are, I probably would say, no, I'm good. I'll go work at the family tire stores.
There you go.
I mean, which
learn to be a bricklayer or something either, like that. Yeah.
So. Well, anyhow. So, yeah, but you're right. I mean, I do think most people, when they get into music, think like, oh, I'm going to be an overnight success. Like, I'm just going to, it's just going to happen for me. Right. And then when it doesn't, they feel this disappointment, and maybe it's better to understand that you have to grow and learn. But I did read there was a point where you guys almost quit music, right?
Oh yeah. Like I said, when we were young
yesterday, yesterday.
Oh, okay.
We thought about it
before this interview. You're like, no, I can't.
Yeah,
that's right.
The thing, it is fortunate. We are fortunate that in the sense that we do have each other, because I feel like on our off, you know, if I'm having an off day, he's feeling it more, and he's like, no, we got this. But I do remember early on, I think we were only like a year or two in, and we were living with your parents. I was sick of seeing my father-in-law in his underwear, and I just, you know, woke up.
That'll do it.
Yeah. I was like, what are we doing with our lives? We can't even afford our own place, you know? And I said, we should give up. And it shocked me because he said it back, and I was like, whoa, we've never, you know, done that.
Yeah, we've never both sort of pulled the abort, you know.
Yeah.
String. And
right, but, the two keys have to turn,
yeah,
right?
That's right, yeah.
And it's so funny that this story was so early on in our career.
Yeah,
you know, it's like we had no idea.
But yeah, I mean, we later that day, I think Ben gave, or your mom gave us her credit card, which is another sad story.
Yeah, and said, go get groceries, you know, which is so defeating. It's like, well, I know you're trying to do a good thing, Mom, but you're making me feel like
worse.
But
yeah, just there, it was one of those movie moments for us. We met this woman who we didn't recognize, but she said, hey, I've seen y'all play here in Nashville, and y'all are Carolina Story. I just want you to know I love the tunes. And you know, we weren't in that moment gonna tell her, well, I don't know if they're gonna keep happening,
I don't know,
you know, just said thank you and moved on. But then it was like a movie scene. I mean, she just got our attention once more, and she said,
the two carts are going away from each other. It's like a symmetrical, like David Fincher film. Yeah. Or something.
There you go.
She just got our attention once more and said, I feel like I'm supposed to tell y'all to never give up.
Wow.
And it just, I don't know, you know, we're big on signs, and moments like that, that the universe is telling you to keep going. And we took that to heart. I remember I think we wrote, I don't remember the date in my mind, but I wrote that date down. And it used to be framed on our wall as a,
we had like date. The day we met, August 3rd, 2007, we had
that, our wedding day,
wedding date. And then that, the date that woman told us that in the grocery store, we had that framed on our wall for years.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Now you can add the day you were on Rockin' the Suburbs.
There you go.
Exactly.
It's clearly the next most important.
What is today? Hold on.
Yeah, that's right. August 31st, 2020.
Oh my God. Who even knows?
That's right. Worldwide superstars. How much do you guys miss playing live? I mean, I know you must miss it, but it's got to be, it's got to be really hard.
Man, especially just releasing new music, you know, like
that's,
we were supposed to be right now on the road with Hayes Carl and, you know, and man, just that coveted opening slot that we've waited for a long time that we've worked hard for. And, you know, it, as my dad always says, it's the most, the saying pisses me off so much, but I mean, it is what it is, you know, like the things that are out of your control. Yeah. I mean, you cannot dwell on them, and we've done that plenty during quarantine. I think we've just tried to see, you know, just trying to find the, just trying to find the silver lining and everything. And you know, we are excited. You know, this is release week for us when you're hearing this, but you know, this Friday on release day, we're playing the entire album down on a live stream with the full band. So like, we're really excited about playing with our peeps again. So it's going to be good.
That's very cool. Yeah. And so what is the, I've never seen you guys and certainly will as soon as we can get through all this, but what's the live setup for you guys? Do you have the four piece, five piece? What is the instrumentation?
We, you know, we, for the longest time, it used to just be the two of us. Which was, you know, great. We enjoyed it, but we were ready to grow the same way the album grew. That, you know, that was another thing we were really excited about because it wasn't going to be just the two of us. Yeah. It was going to be the big band or, you know, a couple of guys, I think. But for the most part, it would have been, what, three more people with us?
Yeah, we had gotten stuck, I think, a little bit. So it was like, we need to advance the sound, you know.
Yep, and, totally.
You know, but the only reason we were traveling, the two of us, early on for however many years is because of money, you know.
Yeah, like, well, there you go.
Can't pay a band.
Exactly. I mean,
right.
So anyhow, yeah, I mean, when we have the full band, I mean, it's, you know, bass, drums, our buddy Sam is usually playing pedal steel and guitar. And then Paul, you know, is going to play guitar and piano and all kinds of stuff. So,
right. You can do pretty much anything with that setup. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. So it's going to, it's going to be fun. And hopefully, you know, when this is all done, we can start doing some runs, full band. Yeah,
that's cool.
So,
what about 2027?
Hell, let's hope not, man. Let's hope not.
Nah, I won't make it that long. I'll tell you.
I won't either.
I want to ask
you,
though.
I'll drink too much beer and explode.
Yeah.
No kidding. What about the string section? 8-piece, 12-piece, 24-piece orchestra? What do you have for that?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be amazing.
I know.
Yeah, that studio, that was two players, and they just kept layering and layering on top of each other.
It sounds great. Cool. So what I'm talking about is you have songs with these great string arrangements on there, and it really,
I know,
it gives it, so getting back to the movies you were showing, it gives it this cinematic quality to these songs, right?
Yep. I love
and
that.
Those really were the those two songs, Don't Leave Me in the Morning, which is out now. That's our latest single, and a song called Wildflower that's on the album. It's about our kids. Yeah, I mean, those were the songs that we were really playing the movies on. And, you know, Eleanor Denig and Austin Hoke were the two people that did it. Eleanor did all the string arrangement.
Yeah.
Paul's been using her for, I think, like 7, 8, 9 years. And she just, they killed it.
Yeah, to see our songs in, you know, written out in that string format, it was who was made it, you know, like
it was really cool.
That must be wild. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got to go and watch the, you know, while they were tracking. I mean, we had, that was the one we're really on, the song called Wildflower. That's, it's, we were playing It's a Wonderful Life, and it's like when Jimmy Stewart's pulling out the rose petals for Zuzu's petals or whatever, checking to see, you know, if the dream is over or whatever. Yeah, that's when they were recording that those strings. So
it
like
beautiful.
I'll never see it. That was already one of my favorite movies of all time. Now it's
you won't be able to watch it the same.
So. It was really cool because we only had two songs budgeted for strings. We would have probably put it all over the album. So we had two songs, and then they ended up just Eleanor and Austin ended up on a song called Time Well Spent, which is the most sparse song of the whole album that ends side A is, you know, they ended up putting a little strings on it. So that was really, that was neat.
I think it works. I think it definitely works. You know, you want to want to save it for something special. The song Wildflower also has ties to your kids, right? So even better to make that a special song.
Totally. Oh,
definitely.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay. So one last thing on the string arrangements I wanted to ask is on Don't Leave Me in the Morning, though. There's a part in the song, it's just like sort of breakdown where it's like piano and then strings and then drums come in and then guitar comes in. Sounds so like Beatlesque to me in that one portion of the song, and I just wonder, you know, was that sort of the inspiration there, or do you draw those same kind of comparisons, or what was going on when you were building that song?
Yeah, I mean, one of the big loves with Paul too was the Beatles. I mean, who doesn't love the Beatles? So, like, we talked about them a lot, and you know, really, that song too was a lot of Oasis. The chord progression, we love, you know, the chord progression is a lot like Champagne Supernova a little bit. I mean, it's different, but we were definitely drawing from that well. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's Paul. I mean, Paul produced it, you know, and that was his idea. It was to have this massive epic sort of outro and go back into the, you know, because the whole song is so sparse.
Mm-hmm.
All the way to that moment, you know, even through the second chorus, it never goes anywhere, you know? And then, that's probably my favorite song on the album. Cool.
Oh, really? Interesting. Mm-hmm. Mm. What kind of covers do you guys ever play covers live or
well,
besides Brandi Carlile, of course?
Like, they've been doing some during the pandemic, right? On YouTube?
Yeah. Stuff, right? Oh, I didn't know that. I'm so behind on this. I gotta get my shit together.
Yeah, we've been releasing a cover song every week for I think the past 8 or 9 weeks. Yeah.
I'm
We're getting ready
on
to
YouTube.
YouTube and socials and stuff.
All right, we're actually redact that question.
All right,
yeah, I should have been prepared.
Yeah. We are getting ready to
record one tonight.
Yeah, the Jayhawks.
Oh, really?
We're gonna do the Jayhawks.
You're gonna do what? Jayhawks? No way.
Yeah.
Oh,
we're gonna do stumbling through the dark.
Oh, nice.
Just because it's it's release week, so we were like, let's do a song that really kind of set the tone for the whole album.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I watched you guys doing Hey, Hey, My, My.
Oh,
nice. That was pretty cool. Yeah. And
We've been doing that one live, too, for years.
Oh, that's great.
You did the Tom Petty Wildflowers.
Yeah.
You know, because you have done Jewel.
We've done Jewel. Yeah. We've done Nirvana. We've done Grateful Dead.
Karma Police, I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Radio.
I gotta watch that. I know what I'm doing tonight.
Man. This is really cool. But my question on this, because Patrick and I have talked about this recently on our podcast, which is that we think that a lot of artists right now are just putting out a lot of covers because it's a substitute for touring, right? It's like you can't tour, you only have so much original material, so it's like, what else can you do? You can put covers out on social media, totally. Right?
Why not? Right. Yeah, and I mean, I think the Graham Parsons one we did is the least watched, which pisses me off. But I mean, I think that's what we've done. You know, it's like it's just kind of fun for us to.
Yeah, we've never been great at anything on the internet. I feel like we're in that age category where, you know, we know what it was like before all, you know, the internet, but then we're also kind of in the crux of where it was just full. I don't know, maybe you feel the same way, but it's just, we are trying to adapt to the new way of life. And I think the pandemic has maybe helped us.
Our management has been like, hey guys,
you gotta
start doing some stuff.
Yeah.
There is this thing, Well, our kids taught us about the internet, so we were lucky in that way.
I don't know. If it were really up to us, we'd probably just not even have an Instagram or anything. But it is
related.
Yeah. There's pros and cons to everything.
Totally.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Ben, Emily. We've had such a great time hanging out
with
you.
Really appreciate it. Yeah. What are you doing for the next 3 hours? We got nothing to do. We'll just
I was going to say, I can't believe we've already been talking for an hour. So.
I know. Heck, what the hell.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much.
Thanks very much.
Oh, anytime,
so great.
Man.
And good luck with everything.
I can't wait to introduce you guys to our community.
Yeah. And down the road.
Thank you all for the great questions and just like really, you know, for really listening to the album and stuff. It means a lot to us.
It's really a nice record, and I'm really happy to have it in my life right now. So that's great.
Yeah, me too. Totally.
And, you know, somewhere down the road, when you're on the road, we'll get a chance to meet in person. So
yeah, we can't wait. D.C. Yeah.
Cannot wait.
All right. We'll let you buy us beer.
Yeah. I'll drink you under the table. Let's go.
Cause I'm so tired of feeling stuck. Why? So hung up, did my words get in the way? I'm lost out in the rain. I can't sit and wait for the truth to come around. So I'll
Okay, and a big thanks to Ben and Emily. We had such a great time hanging out with them, and hopefully we'll get to see them somewhere when things, you know, get back to normal, right?
Really hope so, and I'm sure, you know, like another duo we've interviewed on this podcast that sort of work as a husband and wife team, right? You know, and kind of work with harmonies and work with different songs, Mandolin Orange. These guys, you know, I think have a bright future, and they seem to be going about everything with a very level-headed kind of approach. And I was very impressed by their, you know, by their whole outlook on not only what's going on in our world right now, but the way they want to take their music to people. So it was really cool.
It's great.
Yep.
Now, let me tell you this. if you are interested in learning more about Carolina Story, you can go to carolinastory.com. And of course, you can go to your streaming service of choice and you can you can listen to Dandelion or their previous album.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. But if you then like it and you want to buy the record, go to carolinastory.com and you'll see their store there. But the other thing, and by the way, let me tell you, this is this seems reasonable. Looks like the vinyl is $20.
Wow, that is reasonable.
Which is on like yellow vinyl.
Nice.
And the CD is $10. So that's those are reasonable prices. And then, but here's what I really wanted to point out is they also have can koozies. I like a good can koozie.
Yeah,
I
think without a doubt. Mm-hmm.
Any band that sells can koozies is all right by me.
Going in the right direction. Yeah.
So I may have to get on there myself. All right. If anyone wants to comment at all about Carolina Story or this episode or any other episodes, you can call and leave a message, 612-440-1984. And if Carolina Story wants to comment and say, hey, you guys got you know this wrong and this wrong and this wrong, you can also do that. Call and let us know that. Also, you can email, if you'd rather do that, rock@suburbspod.com. Or we are also on the social medias, all of them at suburbspod, and that would be Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Totally.
Our thanks again to Carolina Story, and let's get on to tomorrow's episode. What do you think?
Sounds good. Yeah, and I want to echo those that thanks to those guys. They were super nice, and hopefully we'll be crossing paths in the future.
Yep, best of luck to them and this year and beyond. Okay, let's get out of here. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
Talk to you guys tomorrow.
And hey, if we get lucky, maybe they'll play Suburbs Podfest in 2025.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we already penciled them in.
That's right.